Hey everybody, welcome back to the podcast. Glad to have you with us. I'm Cassidy, and as always, I'm joined by my lovely co-host, Diz.
Hey guys.
This week, we are continuing our foray into the Legend of Vox Machina, and we say this every week about 99% of the things that we talk about, but we're always excited to talk about things we like. And as somebody who's getting more and more into Critical Role, I'm always happy to talk about it.
I
I don't
understand.
know
It's
if
a
Diz is
fun
happy
thing
to
to get
listen
into.
to
No,
me.
I mean it's been fun. I've slowly been getting into EXU, which is a shorter thing, and I've been enjoying it. I want to get back into it, but yeah, things have been crazy in real life, so we kind of need to find the time to do it. But yeah, it's been cool. I've had fun. So yeah, and I think for me, watching this series has given me more context as to what happened. So it makes it easier for me to watch that after watching this, which is I don't know why that is, but it is what it is. So
I
yeah.
think it's like it's part of it is I think it's just like a good kind of introduction because I think, and I think we talked about this before too, that like one of the tough things, at least with like Critical Role specifically, and maybe some other campaigns like Critical Role, is that sometimes it can just be so big and so long. It's a time commitment to like
It's
really sit
daunting.
down.
Yes.
Yeah,
Yeah.
and you need a lot of time, or if at least if you're like me, because Critical Role, they do have a like a variety of formats, so you can watch it or you can just listen to it on audio. But even when I'm listening to like a podcast or something, I like devoting my full attention to it, or maybe doing something that doesn't require as much attention while I listen, but I still like listening and have that be like the main thing I'm doing. So for me personally, even listening is a little bit tough because it's like that's all I want to do, and it's not always feasible to spend 4 hours during the week
Oh
when
God,
you're balancing, you know, your job and like other just everyday things, just blocking off 4 hours just solely devote to an episode of Critical Role or something. But it is a really fun series, and I'm slowly getting more and more into it, and now hopefully I've gotten you into it, so
It's been
I'm
fun,
sure
like
somewhere
I
down the
said.
line yeah, I'm sure somewhere down the line we'll do more Critical Role themed things. But I think like the cartoon, I mean cartoon is putting it lightly, because I think
Lately,
it's
Vox Machina, basically.
yeah, it's like a good kind of entry point for people who maybe want to get into the world without necessarily having to invest all that time and effort trying to catch up. And I mean, I don't know, like I think, like we mentioned before, I still haven't seen a lot of campaign one. I know what happens, but I haven't seen the campaign in its entirety. But I still felt like going into this show that I wasn't missing anything. So hopefully for people who are brand new, hopefully they also have like that sort of experience where
No,
it's
it's true because that person would be me because I didn't watch any of the campaigns before I started watching this show. And I think we talked about this in an earlier episode, too, because even though it feels like, even though this is based off of a campaign, it doesn't feel like we're missing something if we just watch the show. Because I think what contributes to the long format of the campaign is the fact that each player in the campaign has an action, and going about that taking those turns takes time to construct that scene. But then in this, it's just quick action. It happens right in front of you. So it all that is it's easy. I wouldn't say easy to condense, but it's more like it's doable. In a without, letting go of the essence of the story. And I think that's why this worked for me. So without any further ado, let's take a look at where we left these guys off, because we left them off at a very critical point here. Pun intended. In Critical Role, but critical point. Anyway. So it's it, they finally met with the Vox Machina has finally met with the resistance, and Percy in has is trying to rally them because they've lost hope, and he finds out that his sister is alive. But not only is Cassandra alive, I keep saying Cassandra because it keeps reminding me of Cass from AC Odyssey, forgive me, but But not only is Cassandra alive, but she's also with the Briarwoods and under their control. So we don't know what that means for Percy. Let's talk about that, because let's start with that, because that's a good starting point.
Yeah, I mean, it was a huge revelation, I'm sure, for the characters that Cassandra was alive, and not only was she alive, she was technically, I guess, under the control or influence of the Briarwoods. And I think for the characters, or at least especially Percy, like, he had spent so much time kind of focusing on this quest for vengeance and, getting revenge and kind of, I guess, in a way, righting all the wrongs that had been committed against his family, if that makes any sense. That I think hearing that she was alive was probably, or I'm sure it was, a shock, because he spent so many years just, I think, grappling with that and coming to terms with losing all of his family. And I think Cassandra especially, like, that would have been a huge thing for him to get over, because she was the one he escaped with. And I'm sure the thing that probably haunted him the most was probably that image of her just being shot and then having to leave her.
Leave her behind, yes.
Yeah, because he just assumed she was dead. And honestly, at that point, the only way he could have been of any use to his family in terms of, like, avenging their deaths or anything would have been to save himself, to get himself out of Whitestone and to somewhere safe or away at the very least.
I guess.
Or then, you know, he could plot and you know, regain his strength and all of that, and then come back and do whatever he wanted to do to the Briarwoods. But I think for him, this was definitely a game changer, because he had spent so long, I think, just kind of coming to terms with the idea that Cassandra was dead and that
Oh my god,
he was the last Durolo. But
he was the last surviving Durolo. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so I think, like, that was a huge thing. And honestly, I got into the show kind of late, in the sense, by the time I started watching it, all of season two had already been out.
Oh,
so
really?
That always, yeah. Because I was going back and forth, because I started, EXU was my first kind of real foray into Critical Role at all, and I absolutely loved it. And then I started Campaign 3 because it was kind of related. And then initially my plan was, my goal was to finish all of Campaign 1 before I watched the TV show. And then I just kept hearing about it, and I was like, I can't wait any longer, I'm just gonna watch it. And then once I started, I couldn't stop.
I can understand.
I didn't
that.
End up watching Campaign 1, but I think, if I remember correctly, I think when the show was releasing, or like when the seasons were coming out, the episodes came out in batches of three, I think.
I don't know, because I watched all of it when season two was completely out.
But I think when it aired, if I remember correctly, I think they would do, like, they would drop three episodes
batches
at a time.
Yeah,
so this would have been, or episode six would have been a cliffhanger.
Oh,
and
God.
Then they would have had to wait a week to get the next three. And so I think that's how they released season two. I assume that's how they released season one. But if that is the case, I'm so glad we watched it after.
Oh, God, yes.
I think that wait would have, like...
If only, like, that was the case for S-Pop. But also, no, because that's a story for another time, isn't it? But
yeah. You know, there's some shows where it's like, they're so good that it's... I mean, I personally am always glad that they didn't release on a week-by-week basis, or, like,
episode.
Or even in batches. And this one, I think it did release in batches, but by the time I watched it, the whole season had been out for both season one and two. So for me, that was great, because, like, cliffhangers, I get why we have them, and I mean, they're good.
I love
cliffhangers as much as the next person, but also they're just so frustrating, and it's like,
they are.
You just want to know what happens next as soon as you're done watching. And so I was really glad that by the time both of us got
Where's
into
the
it.
Rest of it? That's who we are at that point.
Exactly.
But let's talk about Percy's revenge pact, because that is something that affects the rest of this season. So let's talk about that, because, I mean, I understand how angry he must have been to make that pact. And how desperate he must have been to be like, you know what? I'm going to make them pay for what they did to my family. So let's talk about that. And the pepper box, because, oh my God, crazy stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody can really fault Percy for making that pact in the first place. And also, I think the kind of interesting thing is that I don't even know that he was fully conscious when he made that pact, in the sense, I don't think until, and this is skipping ahead a little bit, but until the end of the season,
Yes.
I don't think he ever viewed it as like making a pact with any sort of entity or
Yeah.
being or whatever. I think it was just, he thought, like, I was so fueled by my own anger and rage that I came up with this
I did
plan, or I
this
was given
thing.
this,
Yeah.
right? Yeah. And so I think he viewed it as like a very logical thing, but I think even for viewers, like, it makes sense that he is that upset and he's that angry and that
Yes.
vengeful, because it was a huge thing. I mean, a lot of the people who ended up being on his hit list, for lack of a better term, were people who were really close to him and his family, and people he looked up to, and people I'm sure
Who
he like,
betrayed them, yeah.
but even beyond that, I'm sure it's like, I would assume to a certain extent, some of them were people that he probably respected
Oh,
to a certain
yeah.
extent.
And we'll
And
talk
then to
about
have,
that too. Yeah, go ahead.
to have all of them betray not just him, but his whole family in this manner, I'm sure was really shocking, I would imagine. And honestly, like, I think he's a good case of, like, I think how trauma can really affect a person, and it's not
Warp
always
your
logical, and
feelings.
it's like,
Yes.
yeah, there's all these different facets to it and all of that. And I don't know, I think it was just like a really, like, it's, don't get me wrong, it's super depressing what happened to him, but it's also just,
Yes.
he's, I think, a very interesting, like, case study, for lack of a better term, because he's not always like, you can clearly see, like, there's instances where he's trying to do the right thing and be a good person, all of that, but then there's these moments when he's just faced with people from his past, people who have betrayed his family, and he does a complete 180, and it's so interesting to watch, even though
Exactly.
it's at times concerning.
It is, and that's when you get to get the feeling. That's when you get an inkling that it's not all Percy doing these things. So but here's the cool part about it. You understand that he can switch in that 1 second to from being completely okay to being like this angry and ready to off this person the first chance he gets. Because this is somebody who betrayed his family, who made him lose everything that he had, his home, everything that he had known. So that's why I find it really cool. Because of course you'd be that angry, of course you'd be that upset. But the fact is that the more you see this side of, the more you see this happen, the more you feel like, oh my God, something's not right about this. What did you think of that? Because, and I love how the group sees it too and keeps telling him, hey, are you okay? What's going on with you? This is not right. And Percy keeps pushing it off. He's like, I'm fine. I have to deal with this kind of thing. So let's talk. I want to talk about that because I think that's really cool.
Yeah, I mean, we see it as early as episode 3, technically,
Yeah.
when they're at the feast that
Oh,
Eira is
yeah.
hosting, and the
Yes.
Briarwoods make their first kind of, I don't want to say debut, but for the purposes of the show, that's basically what it is. It's like their first entrance, the
Yeah.
first time you really get to spend any sort of time with them on screen.
Yep.
And even in that episode, Percy has such a visceral reaction to
Oh
seeing
God,
them.
yes. Yes.
And even then, he's still kind of, I think, keeping, like, a lot of his secrets really close. He's not divulging a whole lot of information
Yeah.
until the Briarwoods just kind of go batshit, for lack of a better term.
Yeah,
And
I
start
mean,
attacking, and you
not
know,
the
there's
wrong
the
term, but
fight.
yeah.
But yeah, I mean, even in episode 3, like, you get a sense of how quickly Percy can turn, and there's not
Yes.
always, like, I guess, a logical trigger, if that makes any sense. Like,
I
there's
mean,
not always
yes
something
and
that's,
no, yeah, but I know
yeah.
what I know what you're saying though. Yeah,
I mean, because,
exactly.
like, there's obviously, I think anytime he's confronted with somebody from his past, especially anybody on his hit list, that's a, like, a surefire way to get him to just kind of go, like, you know, flip a switch and then just become this other person altogether. But, like, there's other instances. Like, I think it was partway through episode 5 when they're all just camping and they're just waiting, like, or not waiting, but they're in the process of traveling to Whitestone, and they're just camping out for the night, and Percy's sort of kind of on watch, sort of kind of
Yes.
sleeping, and, like, he's just rotating the barrels on his pepper box gun,
Yeah.
and like, that's when you kind of see him shrouded in smoke and everything.
Oh
And,
God,
like, that was,
yes.
he was just thinking about, you know, I'm sure the people and his family and all of that. So like he wasn't actively doing anything to those people at that instant. And he wasn't confronted with them. Like they weren't anywhere near him at that moment, but you could still see like the smoke and you could still see him.
That mask kind of thing. Yes. Oh my
Right. Yeah. So
God.
like
Yes.
I think like that's I'm not putting it very well, but that's the type of thing where it's like there's no it doesn't seem like there's any sort of trigger beyond maybe just perceived like memories or whatever thoughts he's thinking, but it's still like it's still present and he's still
Yes.
having to deal with that entity or whatever. He just doesn't know what it is yet,
He
or he
doesn't
hasn't
know
put a
what it
name to
is.
it, or
Yeah, we don't know yet.
but
Yeah, oh my God, so true. And this is when, so now let's talk about their plan to get to Cassandra, because that's what they have to do now to get to the Briarwoods, get Cassandra out of there, and then get to the Briarwoods, because they're using her as leverage at this point, pretty much. So let's talk about that, because it's an interesting plan, and it's I don't know how else to explain it. It's kind of, we have to wing this kind of thing, because Scanlan's going to be the distraction while these guys do this. So let's talk about that, because I think it's a little bit crazy, but let's talk about that.
Yeah, I mean it is a little bit crazy just because it's I mean they're a fairly big group, I
Yeah.
would say, like in terms of just I mean there's seven of them, it's not a ton of people, but it's still more than like, you know, two or three certainly. So
Yes.
you would assume that any sort of attack they could plan, it would be like a coordinated effort or whatever. But episode seven is just Scanlan going in by himself, which I love, but I also liked watching it the first time. I was like, oh, this is not going to end well. And like I
Yep.
do understand why he wanted to do it, because I think I don't know if it, I feel like the show doesn't put him in this role, but I think maybe he just kind of puts himself or maybe views himself a little bit as like the comic relief type of character, just
Scanlan,
because
yeah, for sure. Yeah,
yeah, just because
that's
like
true.
that's who he is, and like that's what he's I think used to, and like his default setting, if that makes any sense. It's just kind of like, you know, he like wraps himself in humor and
Yeah,
jokes and
that's
like
his.
crazy stuff and
Weirdly, I think you're right. I think that's his defense mechanism for something else, and we'll get to that. We will probably get to that later, but yeah, you're
Yeah,
right.
but like, I mean, that's just, I think, his default setting. I think that's just how he's kind of, or like, I think that's how he just he
Deals
behaves so
with
that I guess
things.
people,
Yeah.
yeah, so people don't kind of pry and poke around and get into like the nitty-gritty of why he is who he is and stuff like that. So, I can definitely understand the desire for him or like his desire to prove himself, but
Yep.
also. Doing it now was always the thing that I was like, oh, Scanlan, I appreciate it, but maybe not
Yeah.
right this instance, because it's a huge task, and it's not that he's not capable, it's just that like there's a lot riding on this plan, and not just like this one portion, but so much of what they're trying to accomplish in Whitestone. And
Later,
it's like,
yeah,
would have been
exactly.
better if the whole group just went. But I will say though, despite only Scanlan going, I think it's just it's such a fun episode because Scanlan's literally, like you said earlier, just winging it. He doesn't really have a concrete plan beyond, okay, I said I'm going to do this thing, so now I just have to make it happen.
Yeah.
And so he's just trying to do whatever he can. And so we get some really funny sequences, including
Yep.
him literally popping into Vedmeyer's house through
Yep.
the bathroom while
Yes.
Vedmeyer's taking a dump.
Oh God.
Which
Yeah.
was
Oh
the
my
funniest,
God.
like,
Yes.
I was not prepared for that. Like, I knew this
No.
episode was going to be crazy because it's Scanlan, and I mean, he's like 100% extra, and I love it. But I was not prepared for that entrance. That was, I laughed for a solid 5 minutes just to.
It's great. It's out there. Yeah, it's really out there.
It is. But
But
it's also like, I don't know how to describe it. It's like quintessentially Scanlan, if that makes any
yes.
sense. Like it
No,
just it
I
fits like,
agree. It's very
but
Scanlan. I agree.
yeah, but I mean episode seven was like, I think the nice thing too is like, and I think we mentioned this before, the show does a good job of kind of balancing some of the darker stuff with moments of levity and humor and stuff like that. So even though this episode kind of was mainly Scanlan centric, and there was a lot of comedy and humor and all that. I think you needed that after something as big as the revelation
Yep.
at the end of episode six, where
Oh
we find
God,
out that
yes.
not only is Cassandra alive, she's with the Briarwoods, and then also after the crazy stuff that happens with Percy and the pepper box and killing Stonefell, and then there's that kind of very brief encounter that he and Vax have as well, where he
Oh
turns on him
God,
for like a
yeah.
split second.
Yep.
So I think especially after a really heavy episode like that, an episode like episode seven, which is just Scanlan being Scanlan
Scanlan, it, we
and like
needed that.
at
We
his
needed
best.
that.
Yeah. But no, episode
However,
seven was like it was a lot of fun.
But let's talk about how this episode kind of ends, because they find out where Cassandra's being kept and who she's being kept with, and it's out there. So let's talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, the really interesting thing I thought is that we find out that Cassandra, she's essentially the Briarwoods' pawn, and or I guess maybe their leverage or their insurance, if you will. But for some reason, she's moved to like from the Briarwoods' house, or which is essentially, I guess, Whitestone Castle, to Professor Anders' place. And I never understood that, because I would have assumed that it would have made more sense for Delilah to just keep Cassandra wherever she was, because then Percy would have to
Keep
come to her, and then she could do whatever twisted nonsense she wanted to
yeah
do. And I
oh
thought, or I would
yeah
have assumed that she would have wanted to do that. But for some reason, and maybe this is just my lack of knowledge around the events that happened in campaign one and like some of, I guess, the filler episodes, if you will, but I wonder if there's any sort of like explanation as to why they moved her to Anders' place that takes place, like if any of that is explained within the actual campaign itself. But in the show, it's just she's initially with the Briarwoods, but then when the group kind of gets back,
Advances.
well, yeah, but when they kind of reconvene with the resistance, I think that's when Archie reveals that she's been moved to Anders' place. And I mean, that's another person on Percy's hit list. So I'm sure for him, it doesn't matter whether she's with the Briarwoods or with Anders, he's going to take them all down. But just from like a character point of view, I thought that was kind of interesting, because
It is. I never
I
thought
feel like
about that.
Delilah. Well, I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's because it's Grey DeLeo who did the voice of Delilah. So I kept thinking of Azula, and I was
Oh,
like,
God.
Delilah's pretty sadistic. I feel like that would be right up her alley to like just, create discord and just torture Percy some more by keeping his sister with her. But I mean, either way, like Anders does a good job of torturing Percy too, because the last bit we see in episode seven, when they finally get to
Anders'
Anders'
place.
place, is Anders slitting Cassandra's throat, and then
Oh.
the episode ends. And it's an image. And again, for Percy, it must be a really like
It's horrifying because
traumatic
he just
thing. And
got her back and now he's losing her all over again. It's not right. But yeah, again, ending this episode on a cliffhanger, and then what and I it's there's so much going on, and Anders has a trick or two up his sleeve, and it's not easy to get past him. And I love how Keyleth is trying to use her druid magic or Ashari magic to help to revive Cassandra. Let's talk about that because there's a lot going on there.
Yeah, I mean, one, I like druids are just so cool. And after seeing two of them in Critical Role, I'm like, if I ever play, I would love to play as a druid. Don't know if I could pull off all the cool stunts that Marisha and Ashley pull off, though, but I would like to imagine I could. But no, I mean, that was really
Well,
cool. And also, I think part of it was just they didn't have Pike at this point. So Keyleth was
yes.
really the only person who could do anything.
And I want to talk about that too for a minute because Pike said something to the same effect to Keyleth before she went off on her journey, right? And I that's really cool that that came full circle in this moment. So let's look. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I think, well, I think part of it too is like like that, there's always this really interesting thing where some of these like really powerful characters who probably maybe know that they're powerful are also just so, I guess, I don't want to say self-conscious isn't the right word, but they're not super confident in their abilities. And I think like we've seen in other shows, but I think in this one, Keyleth is obviously a good example because I mean, she can do all sorts of really cool things, but I think sometimes maybe I don't know if it's like necessarily fear that's holding her back or if it's just a combination of things, but the like this particular instance too, I think like you can kind of tell she's a little bit unsure about this healing thing, and then you know it takes I think a little bit of reassurance from Vax and all of that to kind of like
Of
get her
course it's
started, but like she knows
Bax.
what she's doing and she's super
Sorry,
powerful and I mean, it is a really sweet and wholesome moment, and like they drive me nuts, but like in the best way, because it's
I
like
know.
you guys are making like bedroom eyes at each other for lack of a better term, but like you're not gonna act on it because that's the type of
Idiots.
characters you are.
Idiots. Right in front of our salad? Really? But yeah, I know
Yeah,
what you
that's kind
mean.
of like but no, I mean, it's just like I think even if Pike hadn't said that to Keyleth, I think she still would have done
Oh, yeah,
it
of
just because, like,
course.
but part of it is that's who she is. But also in this moment, they didn't have Pike. They only had her. And so I hate to say it, but it was like all on her or it was nothing. And I think maybe I don't think she appreciated, or not that she didn't appreciate, but I don't think she liked the pressure of that.
Oh,
Because
God.
I mean, who likes that type of pressure anyway?
Yeah, I know.
But I think it was really sweet that like even if Percy couldn't be there to reassure her because he was kind of just reliving this super traumatic thing that happened right this moment, at least Vax was there to be like, you've got this, you can do it. And I mean, she does do it. But yeah, I mean, it was a really cool scene, but it's also just so interesting that like while she's doing that, Anders is just standing there and pouring himself a drink. And I always thought that like for a group of people who are going around appearing to be as sadistic as they could be, like he didn't do much after that. I feel like if his goal was to torture Percy or just to like make Percy hurt, there was a lot he could have done, especially because like there's a very brief window where initially, after he and Percy leave the room, Cassandra's in. Eventually, Vax leaves too. And it's just Keyleth and Cassandra. And it's like, not to be glib about it, but like, if he really wanted to be shitty and if he really wanted to do something, he could have just like shot Keyleth or something while her back was turned and while she was just fully
Trying to
focused
heal
on healing
Cassandra.
Cassandra.
Yes.
Yeah.
But then
So I don't know. Like, it's.
you're
I mean,
right.
obviously, I think it didn't happen that way in the campaign, thankfully. Like, not that I want Cassandra or Keyleth to die, but
Oh, God.
it's just like for a guy who's equally sadistic,
Oh,
I
he
just thought it was like
is.
very interesting that Anders was like he had ample opportunity if he really like if his goal was to just hurt Percy as bad as he possibly could, and just make him, I guess, broken or as much of a shell as he could become. There were so many opportunities to hurt Percy, like maybe not physically, but like emotionally, like just hurt his friends, which would in turn hurt him. Like, I mean, Anders had plenty of opportunity, but I think for him, maybe I'm assuming that part of it was also like the spectacle of it and like the way he set everything
Yeah,
up and
I think
how
that's
the
his
events in
kind
the
of
episode
sadism
unfold.
or whatever, but
Yeah.
I think he was also overconfident about the trick he had up his sleeve, which he uses very effectively, by the way, and it scared the shit out of me the first time I saw it, right? Because he literally has a silver tongue and he uses it to control everybody around Percy. And it is haunting. Let's talk about that because, oh my God, that was freaky.
Yeah, I mean, I think like what I mean, again, because I haven't seen campaign one, I don't know if this is actually answered in the actual campaign, but I always thought it was so interesting that like he seemingly got this ability to control people from the Briarwoods. And it's like, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if I want to know how he's like been honing his skills with that and what he's been doing since like he got that gift.
Oh,
And
yeah.
I'm putting that in quotes because it's a
Gift
gift
in
in the
quotes.
loosest form. And then like what he got up to between when he got it and now, because I don't know. I mean, for people who are so sadistic, there's I'm sure plenty of opportunities for them to just practice being creepy and weird and all of that. But I mean, the really cool thing about this episode is that, like, even though it's kind of a moment where the odds seem like they're against Percy, because eventually Anders is able to control all of them with the exception of Percy, and he tries to have the rest of Vox Machina kill Percy. Like, Percy still manages to buy just enough time to find just the right angle to
Just the
shoot
right
Anders,
angle. And oh my
and
God, that shot. Oh.
it's epic. I
Oh
mean,
God,
talk
yes.
about cool. Like, it's a brutal shot too, just because of
Oh
the
my
way
God.
Anders goes down. But
Yep.
I mean, for
He
like
basically
a
knocks his jaw off, man. Like literally. Oh my God. Oh.
Yeah. Well, I
Yeah,
mean, I think, like,
literally.
that's as much as I hate to say it, because it is kind of like a thing that normally I don't think anybody would think about. But, like,
Oh yeah.
in a situation like that, where somebody's, it's they're not even just their voice, literally their tongue, it seems,
Yep.
that's controlling you.
Yep.
You
Dislocate
like,
the
how
jaw.
else?
That's
Yeah.
it.
Like, I mean,
Yeah.
you need to cut the tongue out, but, like, if you're far
Yeah.
away, you can't do that. So, yeah, I
Yeah.
mean, it's a brutal shot, but, like, needed, if that makes
Yeah.
any sense. And I
No, I
hate
get
saying
it.
that, but, like, it's I
I
don't see,
know.
like, in that moment, I don't think there was anything else Percy could have done to stop Anders. So
Yeah, that
it's,
was one heck of a shot, and he took it. That's all I can say about that. So it's kind of like, again, the first time I watched it, it kind of freaked me out, but then I was like, oh my God, that's a super cool shot. So yeah, I.
yeah. It's also just, like, there's something really funny about having that epic shot,
Okay.
like, play out, and then the next thing you see on screen is, like, the remaining members of Vox Machina trying to chase Anders' tongue around the
Yeah.
room.
Oh God, yeah.
And I don't know, just something about it. And I was just so curious about, like, how is the tongue animated? How is it moving outside of his mouth? Is it his tongue? Was it somebody else's tongue? Because the prior ones are
Oh,
creepy.
yeah. Oh my
Like,
God,
I had all
yes.
these
They're
questions, but
necromancers, so I can understand why you would have that question. Holy shit. I agree.
yeah, I mean, they're just, again, they're just very sadistic people. So it's like,
Yes.
I wouldn't put it past them to try
Nope.
something like that. Like, hey, here's this random tongue. If you want to be our crony, you gotta, like, gotta
Do shit.
stick it in you or whatever.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I maybe though, like, those are the types of things that I think we don't need to know. And also, just, I wouldn't put it past the Briarwoods to make it super gross and icky if that was ever revealed. But I was also just, like, kind of morbidly curious, like, how does some of this stuff work?
Yeah. It is, I mean, it is curious. It is curious. I'd like to know too, but for a show that deals with magic, I think it's like, you know what? It's a thing. Let it happen.
Yeah, I mean, weirder things have happened, but I mean, like, yeah, I mean, I think the really nice thing is that, like, even though that's, like, a very weird scene, it's immediately followed by, like, this really, I don't want to, it is kind of wholesome, but it's also just kind of sad.
Yeah.
There's a scene where Percy and Cassandra reunite, and, like, they're able to speak for the first time since they were separated.
Yep.
And there's this really kind of, like, bittersweet moment where Cassandra tells Percy, she's like, I thought you came back, like, when they were initially trying to escape Whitestone,
Yeah.
and he initially left her for dead. And it's like, it kind of just tugs at your heartstrings, because
Yeah.
you know he didn't leave her intentionally because he wanted to
He
or
didn't
anything. He
care
thought
for,
she,
yeah.
yeah, he just assumed that she was dead. And I mean, honestly, like, the way it appeared, I
Happened,
mean,
yeah.
that's, like, it was a pretty brutal attack, and she had multiple arrows in her, and that's not a thing that people can recover from as easily. But and also, like, in that moment anyway, like, it would have been, I think, very hard to go back, like, even just to
Yeah.
check on her without,
Yes, without
putting
her.
himself in more danger.
Yes, agreed.
So I think it was just a really tough situation for both of them, and I'm
Yes.
sure they have a lot of trauma over it. And I'm
Oh yeah,
sure it's
we'll
probably the
see.
cause
We'll
of,
talk about that too. But yes, I agree with you.
yeah, I mean, it's still, like, I think it's as bittersweet as it is, I think there's also, like, that there's a bit of wholesomeness to it, because, it's their first time reuniting, and then
Yep.
they're together, and it's even though so much of their family has passed on, and well, that's putting it lightly, a lot of their family was just murdered in cold blood. At
Yep.
least Percy's not alone, and now Cassandra knows she's not alone. And I think, like, I
Yeah.
think too, like, part of what makes their reunion really interesting is, like, in spite of how sadistic the Briarwoods are, I think, as much as I hate to say this, they're also kind of clever strategists, if that makes any
Oh
sense.
yeah.
Because,
No,
like,
that's
I
true.
mean, I know, like earlier I was saying, I wonder why they moved Cassandra to Anders' place, but, like, I wonder if part of it was, like, just the way the season plays out and knowing what happens later in episode 10, if it was like a calculated move to have things line up the way they did,
I
so
think
that
so.
so that it's
They're
like
not stupid.
it's just they're not stupid, no. But again, I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, for people who are so sadistic, you would just assume that they would want to maximize the amount of hurt they could inflict on someone. And I feel like moving her or giving Cassandra back to Percy or putting them, back together in any capacity would have been less sadistic than anything else Delilah could have done. But again, I think part of it too was she was just playing a long game, and
Oh yeah, that is
having
very
Cassandra
true.
be reunited with Percy just worked. But I think it's just obviously it's nice that they don't think in those terms, and I think Percy just doesn't want to, because for him it's like this is the first time he's seen his sister in how many years, and like she's alive
Yeah.
and
That's
breathing
all
in
he
there
cares about
together.
at this point.
yeah
But I
yeah and
also,
also I think,
go
like,
ahead.
oh no, sorry, I was just gonna say, there's a really like kind of sweet moment at the end of episode 8, I think, where once they get Cassandra back and they're trying to, like, they've been told once you get her, send a sign to the rebels and they'll know, and like, they can regroup and plan their next steps and stuff. And I just thought it was so sweet that like Keyleth makes a sign in the sky and she makes it the Darolo crest.
Rest. It's really
And
cool. Yes.
yeah, it's just, I thought it was like a really sweet kind of
Nod.
nod to their background. And then also, of
Yeah.
course, the a sign to, like, I guess, inspire the resistance and give hope to like the remaining citizens of Whitestone
Yeah.
that, like, hey, the Darolos aren't completely dead. The resistance is still alive and we're gonna try and make stuff happen. So I thought
Yep.
that was really cool. And then also I just love Vex being like, not gonna lie, kind of impressed, kind of terrified. I was like, I get it. That's valid.
Valid, totally. But n let's also talk about Pike, what Pike's been going through, because that plays a really cool, important role here in this episode. Because she's at, I think, a temple, where she's trying to reconnect with the Everlight, and the priestesses there are trying to help her, but it's not working. And I do want to say that they did this really well. Because she thinks that because Pike thinks that it's Delilah's hit that cur sort of cursed her and severed her connection to the Everlight. But when she's struggling to connect to the Everlight again, and when she finally sees this deity, the deity's like, "That's not what this is. You're lying to yourself about this." Let's talk about that because I thought that was really cool.
It was, yeah, and it was just really interesting too, because I don't know that a lot of shows really kind of look at a character's abilities from that sort of perspective. Like, I mean, obviously, I think it now it's any sort of story is like it's been done,
Yeah.
but there's always something really interesting about characters who are, again, super powerful, but are always, I think, kind of grappling with like the extent of their powers and where it
Oh,
comes
yeah.
from and what kind of like feeds that. If that makes any sense.
Yeah.
And I think her, like, anytime the story kind of reverted back to Pike, those moments for me anyway were always like really riveting, because it's like you don't know what's going to happen, and like you like
No.
watching it, we knew about as much as Pike did, and it's
Oh,
like
God, yes.
it seems like it's Delilah's hit that's kind of causing this disconnect between her and then the
Yeah.
source of her powers. But then watching the way that whole arc played out, and also just the animation in that scene, I mean, the animation in the
Yeah.
whole show is gorgeous,
It's
but like those
beautiful,
scenes in
yeah.
particular, it was just so cool and like just so well done. And then seeing her just kind of suspended in like this really cool sort of, like, I don't even know what to call it, like another world, if that makes any
Dimension.
sense. Yeah,
Dimension.
like
Let's
an
call it a
alternate dimension.
dimension. Yeah.
And just like seeing like the way everything was framed too was, I thought, just so well done. Like a lot of it is really dark and stuff, and then Everlight was like really bright and fiery.
Yes.
And I also just loved the way that like that whole portion played out, because it was like the way, I guess, Pike's dilemma was described was like, we don't choose, we just walk a path. And I thought that was so cool, because honestly, like the further we got into like Pike's little mini arc, the first time watching, I was like, so is it going to come to a point where she has to pick between like her duty and her friends, or like
Yes,
how it's going to work?
exactly.
But I think they handled it so, like, they it was written
They
so
did a
cleverly,
really
and like
good
it was,
job of
yeah, because it
handling
was
that.
like she ultimately doesn't really have to choose, which I think is the
No.
really cool thing. Like, she can have, not to make a stupid cheesy pun, but she can have the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
And I
She
thought
can
that
have her cake and
was
eat it too, basically.
yeah, I thought that was so cool, and also just really
Yeah.
inspiring to see, because like I think obviously Pike cared a lot about her role as a cleric, and I think she had a really strong connection to the Everlight, and I think she
Yes.
really liked being, or kind of fulfilling that role. But at the same time, like, she loved her friends, and even though they sometimes got into like the, I guess,
I
like
don't know how else to put it, but not so morally. They got into a lot of morally gray stuff. Let's just say that, right?
yeah.
That's the lightest way of putting it, right? So, but I love how the Everlight was like, you're at war with yourself because you think you have to choose. And I'm, but this, but the Everlight never demanded that of you. So, and I think that's a cool thing. Yeah, you're absolutely right because I think not many shows can balance that. Not that I've seen at least, but this show did it really well. Like, of course, it was her calling what she what Pike was doing, but then she also found these friends that she loved and wanted to, you know, do something meaningful with as well. So it was cool that they didn't make her choose. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I don't like the, I guess, because like they have their own like pantheon almost.
Oh
I
yeah.
don't know how many shows really do that. Like, just, I mean, I think if it's like established, or if there's like a world that they've already, I guess, adapted for TV, then they sometimes do that. But I feel like, I don't know that that many shows actually have like their own sort of pantheon that like has, sort of like an arc, if that makes any
Yeah.
sense.
Yeah.
Like, they touch on it really briefly, but yeah, I mean, to my knowledge anyway, I haven't seen a lot of shows recently that really kind of focus on that at all. So seeing it was really interesting, and like the way they did,
Yes.
like the way they brought the Everlight to life, and like kind of, I guess, had her interact with Pike, that was really
That
cool,
was really
for
cool.
lack of a better term.
No, I agree. Now, but while this is going on, at Whitestone, Vox Machina is facing something completely crazy because Delilah has raised a bunch of zombies. So let's talk about that. And it is not fun. Let's talk about it.
I mean, speak for yourself. I had a lot of fun watching it. I
Ha.
don't know that they had a lot of time, like a lot of fun interacting with them. Just like, given the sheer volume, like there was a ton. But no, I thought it was like, I don't know. I had a lot of fun watching it, and just
No,
like the
it was
way
fun in the sense that, yes, story-wise, yes, but like,
oh yeah, like for the characters, I'm sure it was like a nightmare. I
yeah.
mean, it, like, if that was something that was to happen in real life and you put yourself in their shoes, it
Oh,
would
God.
be less than pleasant. And that's putting it lightly, but I don't
Yes.
know. Like, watching it was very entertaining, just because it's like kind of like the icing on the cake for a show that like has all this other random stuff going on. It's like, yeah,
Yeah.
throw in some zombies too, and then it just makes it, I don't know, that much more extra.
I agree, but let's
I
talk
don't
about the
know.
Vax and Keyleth show here. Because these idiots
I
have a
mean,
lot going on. I don't blame them, and I'm calling them idiots out of love, but still, idiots.
it was super wholesome though. Like,
Yeah.
Not that I wasn't not expecting it, because after a point, it's just like, I think that's like, I don't know, episode 5 maybe.
Oh,
When he
God.
starts calling her Kiki, it's like, oh, so you're that type of couple.
Yeah.
Super
Well.
frustrating, annoying one that refuses to like get together, but you'll pine for like 3,000 years if you're allowed to.
They're
And
idiots. Idiots. Yes, clearly.
yeah, but I mean, like I said, it was really wholesome, and
It was.
I'll take more. Like, I mean, I would prefer it if, you know, they acted on their feelings and did something about it, but
Didn't
I'll take
we all?
more.
But yeah, it was really cute that they had their cute moments, and these moments were kind of necessary in all the craziness that was going on in this episode. Unfortunately, we do lose Archie because it's not pleasant. And that's like another blow to Percy because, of course, he has Cassandra back, but then Archie, who was like leading this rebellion, is now gone. That sucks. It's not fun.
Yeah, also because like I think he was literally cut in half.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I know it's like an adult show and they can get away with a lot more brutal forms of
Oh,
death,
yeah.
but like
Yeah.
he was literally just straight up sawed in half. And I think in like, not to like make it gross or more gross than it already is, but like in one slice too, it's like that's brutal. Like there's no other term for it.
No, I agree. I definitely agree. Let's talk about them defeating Vedmeyer because I think I like what they do in the end when they defeat Vedmeyer because I think that was really cool. And also, let's talk about Pike rejoining the group because that was epic. So let's talk about all of that.
Yeah, I mean, one, that entrance was super cool when
Yeah.
Pike re like finally rejoins the group, but also
Yep.
there's just a lot of really cool stuff in that like little bit, I guess basically like the second half of the episode where
Yeah.
it's like they're running from the giants, they're trying to stop the zombies, Kit momentarily becomes alpha. It's
Oh,
like, I don't even know if you it like you said, it's just like the Vax and Keyleth show for like this
yeah.
episode. They're so wholesome, but it's also just like so frustrating because it's like you're not doing anything. Just act on your feelings for once.
Yeah.
And to be fair, I will give Vax credit that like I was expecting it to take some time for him to drop the big three words, but 9 episodes in, just
You
because
know
he's been
I'm
through
in
so much
love with you,
bad,
right?
I'm
And she's just
like,
like, "Now? This is the worst time. What are you doing?" I'm like, "Oh
I know,
God."
and it's like of all the times for you to speak up, not that she shouldn't, but like,
But
you know.
She didn't say no.
Right, yeah. It's not a no, but it's also not a yes. But I do appreciate that he was like,
You
I
know what
guess.
that reminds me of? Come back alive, see you with brain, then we'll see. That's what that reminds me
Yeah.
of. It's dumb.
No, that's fair. I can see it.
It's
That's
so
kind
dumb.
of true.
Yeah. It's like so dumb. Like, why? Why? I hate them. They've ruined my life, and I hate them. But yeah, Pike's return was epic. If she finally establishes reestablishes her connection to the Everlight, and it's a super cool thing. And they have her back, even though it's like even though she's projecting herself, that is again a feat in and of itself, and I loved it. But like, let's talk about that because that is super cool.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm trying to figure out another word that's not epic because it's the only word I can think of. I mean,
Yeah,
with
I
like
know that,
the
but that's
entrance and it just fits. I
I
mean,
feel
I don't
like
know.
that's the only suitable word at this point, you know?
Yeah,
I can't.
it's an
Yeah.
entrance,
It's an
like
entrance.
just. I mean, I don't know how many other characters just pop in, and like their first action or like their entrance
Yeah.
is literally just sawing a giant in half. But yeah, no, that was really cool and it was really entertaining to watch. And then also I just loved the way she was like, sup.
Sup?
Like just like she just like went out for a bit and came back and was
Yeah.
like, I'm back now.
Hey, so
Like it was just like really nice because I think not that they weren't capable, but like you could definitely tell like by that point they were kind of, I think,
struggling a
really
little bit.
feeling it. Yeah, because like they had been in this thing for who knows how long and they were just like you said, struggling a bit. And then she kind of came back and everybody was like
Levels
just,
the playing field, kind of, you
yeah.
know?
And I think that they were re-energized, re-motivated, and
Oh
like,
God, yes.
I don't know. There's just something also really nice about just seeing like that sort of thing in like an adult show. Not that it doesn't happen, but I feel like a lot of times it's like, and not to like just lump a lot of stuff together, but I feel like there's just stuff where it's like more crass humor and like crude jokes and stuff like that. And like the show has it, but there's also stuff too to like balance it out. Not that
No,
there's
I
anything
know
wrong with
what you
those shows that
mean.
are just that, but
Yes, you are. Let's not open that can of worms because there, you know, there's,
well, I mean, like it's people can watch whatever they want to watch.
yeah,
I'm just saying, like
exactly.
for me
That's up to
personally, like
them. Yeah, it
there, I
does.
feel like there's no like middle ground. I feel like there's just like a lot of shows that are geared to like a much younger audience, and anything that's geared to like an older audience is just like jokes about like sex and booze and like drugs or something, or just like very like I don't
Which
know.
makes me wonder, is that what you think all adults are into these days? Like, really?
I don't know.
Because
Also, like I feel like I don't know,
you
like
always make a very good point when you say this, because if I wanted to, you always say that if I wanted a glimpse of the real world, I just go back and watch the news, not TV shows, which is supposed to be a form of escapism, which I totally agree with. Like, why?
yeah, I mean,
I
like, I guess there's
mean,
nothing wrong if there's like an element of realism in
yeah, I
them,
mean, yeah, of
but
course.
yeah, there's just like, I don't know, like I tried watching like The Simpsons or something and I could not get into it. And like I remember being at like a relative's house and my cousins putting on like multiple episodes of Family Guy and I just like could
Oh,
not get into it because it's like the humor is
yeah,
just
I've
like some episodes are fine, some I actually didn't mind and I enjoyed watching, but like the vast majority I was just like, I don't really care
same.
for it. I'm sorry.
I feel like it's the
And
same thing with Rick and Morty as well. I don't know why. I've never been able to get into it. It's
yeah, I
just,
mean,
I
like
don't
Rick
know.
and Morty, I personally haven't seen a ton of, but like
I
stuff like The
started it and I
Simpsons
never
and
could
like,
finish it. I was
yeah,
like, I can't do it.
the only show that I was like able to like get decently into and that I would have finished if my subscription hadn't run out was Bob's Burgers. That
Oh,
was good.
really?
But yeah, I mean, it is a little bit weird and like
It is.
kind of out
I've
there, but
seen bits of it.
there's, I don't know, there's some of them like even though they're weird and like kooky, for lack of a better term, they've got heart, if that makes any sense. I don't know, but there's like I don't know, I feel like there's nothing for people who want like fantastical stories that are more like sci-fi and fantasy leaning that's like not a kid show. And like whatever adult shows there are, they're either like on some streaming service I don't have or something I'm not gonna get or just something I'm just not interested in. So like this one, I was like, when I found out they're making a show, I was like, oh, it's great. It's right up my alley. It's like the type of stuff that I'm into. And I like not knowing a lot about the other shows, I know at least like the cast and crew for this care about it enough to do it justice. So like that part would always be nice.
I definitely agree. Let's also but I think that's pretty much where they left us off, right? Because this is where because Pike comes back and they are finally on a level playing field, but they still have to take back Whitestone. I think that's where we leave this off, right? Are we missing something here?
No, I mean, I think it's just them defeating the zombies. Like, what's his name? Vetmire
Vetmire,
being left to the people. That
Oh
part was
yeah, I
really
love
funny.
that. Yes.
And just also just deserved because he was a scumbag, and that's putting it mildly.
Oh yeah.
And then, yeah, the last thing that they do is they're taking the tunnels into the castle to find or to get to the
The
Briarwoods, and that's
Briarwoods,
when they
yes.
discover another figure.
Oh yeah. And that's something we're going to be talking about in the next episode. So thank you guys for, listening to us, and if you've stuck with us this far, we really appreciate you and thank you. And we will come back next week with the next portion for season one of The Legend of Vox Machina, which would be episodes 10, 11, and 12. So thank you guys, and we will see you next week. Thanks.
As always, our lovely theme song is Water Lily by the 126ers. The Nerdy Podcasts podcast is available on Anchor, Spotify, and Google Podcasts, and you can follow us online at nerdy-podcasts.tumblr.com or at nerdypodcasts.wordpress.com.